is ready to interact with you. But there's one element that I have noticed since this morning, that the actual presentation that we are going to make on the PowerPoint, we didn't receive the hard copies on time. And it really disorganizes us as a committee if we don't receive those presentations on time, because they assist us in comparing notes together with the report. And also the report, some members received it only this morning, and it makes it difficult for members to interact with the report and apply their mind and compare policies and many other documents with what we have presented here. So I would request that DG, please, and the head of the NDA, please, in future, can we please get the documents on time, a week before at least, all the documents that you'll be making presentations on, let's get it on time so that members can, you must remember that some of us are new here, so we're still learning, so it helps us too, for us to get documents on time so that we can read and, you know, and understand the issues that you are going to present. So, on that note, let me hand over to the department to make its presentation, the NDA. Oh, no. Let's do it properly. Let's make introductions first. May I request the members of the committee to introduce themselves?
Good afternoon. I'm Tukiswa Ranto from Eastern Cape, member of the Select Committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Matala Buroja from Mpumalanga.
Ke ya leboga modula setulo le bitso la ka ke Lydia ke moradi wa Mushoti ke tswa province ya Freestata ke setho sa committee ena ya social services. Ke ya leboga modula setulo.
Good afternoon, my name is Willem Faber and I represent the Select Committee for the Northern Cape Province. Thank you.
Good afternoon, my name is Michael Davalis and I'm from the Western Cape. Thank you.
Go on. Introduce yourself and support staff.
Oh, okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Thulisile Ganyaza Twalo. I'm the content advisor for the committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm a parliamentary monitoring group monitor. My name is Gillian Bosman.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mkululi Molo. I'm from the research unit. I'm a researcher for this committee.
Can we go to the department delegation?
Good afternoon. My name is Ingrid Ndlovu. I'm the PLO to the Deputy Minister.
Afternoon. My name is Rufus Nchabele. I'm from Department of Social Development.
Good afternoon. Kenny.
Good afternoon. Abigail Mate, Social Development. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Osborne Machilela, Acting Chief of Staff.
Good afternoon, Honourable Members, Lana Peterson, Social Development.
Van Dango, Chief Operations Officer, Social Development.
Good afternoon, Fosse Matansela, Social Development.
Good afternoon. I start with an apology from the Chair of the NDA, Bishop Pulwana. So I'm representing him. My name is David Adler. I sit on the board of the NDA. I also chair the Audit Committee.
Good afternoon. Lunga Kamanu, Head of Marketing and Communications, National Development Agency.
Good afternoon, Honourable Members. My name is Ruben Morano. I'm the Head of Development at the National Development Agency.
Good afternoon. I'm Rashida Issel, Acting CEO of National Development Agency.
Remind the meeting that the Deputy Minister would have loved to be here with us. We must remember that the National Assembly is sitting today and the President is responding to yesterday's question. Yeah, so I just wanted to alert them. And let me take this opportunity to hand over to the...
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, thank you for listening to the NDA and taking time out for listening to the NDA. All protocol observed. Chairperson, the NDA, as this is the first presentation, I'll go into depth as to what the NDA is all about. The NDA was established as an Act Chairperson and falls under the Department of Social Services. Our vision is a developing society free from poverty. Our mission, to contribute to poverty eradication and the elimination of its causes. Our primary mandate is to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes by granting funds to civil society for the purpose of implementing projects and programs or strengthening the institutional capacities of these civil society's organizations. Our secondary mandate is to promote dialogue, consultation, sharing of development experience between civil society organizations, the state, and other government organizations. We also have to do research and disseminate this research and publications, specifically on development issues, Chairperson. We do grant making in various sectors, and thus far, since the inception of the NDA, we have granted 700 million rand to various projects nationally in South Africa. Our focus was mainly on economic development, food security, community health, and education. We have so far 417,000 direct households that benefited from these grants, and 2.2 million beneficiaries that indirectly granted benefited from our grants. Our focus also is on various dialogues with regards to development issues, and we also have seminars, conferences, and workshops. Our capacity building focuses mainly on business management and skills, project relevant skills, and conflict resolutions in the projects that we fund, but also in other projects that we didn't fund specifically, but we identify that has got these needs. Currently, the NDA has 320 live projects on its system, and these projects basically consist of poultry farming, red meat production, piggery, vegetable farming, bee farming, and citrus production. We have also, and we still do support tourism, manufacturing and textile, capacity building, and early childhood development. For the year under review, Chairperson, we have four goals, and one of the goals was to establish and promote partnership to leverage funds and capabilities. The purpose of this was to make most of the funds and capabilities available for various players in the development arena. And under this goal, this is where we disseminated most of our projects and programs. Under this goal, but I'll speak later about it a bit more. Here we identified potential players. Our strategic objective under goal one was to identify potential players and best practices, improve internal process and quality grant making, and develop a sustainable partnership and programs. Chairperson, as we speak, you'll see that we don't only grant funds to projects and programs, but we also monitor them and evaluate them and assist them as we go along. Our business is not just to grant funds and lead these projects, but we grant them funds over a period of 3 years, 2 to 3 years, and in that process, the NDA nurture these civil societies, NGOs, and faith-based organizations. Goal two, was to facilitate research that informed grant funding. If you remember, our mandate is also include research specifically on development issues. And our second goal was to with regards to this, and the purpose was to understand the nature of poverty in South Africa and what must be done to alleviate it and who are the players. Those are the issues that we wanted to discuss and extract in Goal 2. Goal 2, the strategic objective was to establish a database of civil societies and other role players. So at the moment we have achieved this goal, Chairperson, and this database is up and running. We can share this with people. We actually have partnerships with HSSRC and certain individuals. We share information. We also identify targets for intervention and craft solutions, measure impact of programs, and share the learning knowledge. So with this one, we actually measure how our projects, the ones we granted, how they're doing, what they're doing, and what the issues are, so that we can learn and the rest of the development world can learn from it. Our third strategic goal was to build and sustain organizational capabilities. Here the purpose was to build and sustain the capacity we need to deliver our mandate and to operate efficiently and effectively and with sound governance. I think this one we're quite good on, Chairperson. We have got our policies in place. We have unqualified audit. We're just looking to improve this continuously on this goal. Here the strategic objectives was to get the right people in the right jobs, in terms of values and sound operating policies, effective business systems and governance processes. Okay, Chief, but now I'll report against the goals. For goal one was to establish and promote partnerships and leverage funds. Here we have funded 59, for this year we have funded 59 projects to an amount of 85 million rand. We do regular monitoring and evaluation of these projects, Chairperson, every 6 months. We have a standard process we do. We have a SOPs policy, and the SOPs policy also explains our RFP and our PSP process and how we grant funds. It's a process where the Auditor General insisted that we have a process where it explains how we go about and the processes of the NDA. We have 643 civil societies have directly benefited from capacity building, strengthening interventions. So here, Chairperson, it's not only the projects that we fund, but other projects that come to the NDA who are quite well off, and sometimes we just arrange, they need some mentoring and some intervention, like some people they're not doing well in bee farming, and we take one of our examples that's doing well, and we organize somebody to go to that other project where they can teach. So it's not only capacity building, but also mentoring that we do. 9,645 individuals have been trained under our capacity building. And when I originally started, I also said our projects are paid over in tranches over a period of 2 to 3 years. So we keep this money, Chairperson, and you can see it on our balance sheet. And for this year, we paid 118 million rand we paid in disbursements. So which means after the monitoring and evaluation, we've paid this to projects. Project monitoring conducted to fund projects per provision as per the policies. The SOPs is a policy. We have had a number of activities to raise the profile of the NDA, the provincial profile, summaries, detailed information on the population, unemployment, development, priorities, and challenges that inform the provincial funding, summaries of flagship projects that were posted on our website. And this is part of our, when projects are closed, we have a closeout report. We also have a process where that is concerned. And we actually evaluate these projects, Chairperson, and see how they have done. And you'll find them on our website, but also the flagships. We call the flagship the successful projects that we have. We call them flagships. And you can also see some of these flagship projects that we have. They're doing quite well, and most of them are sustainable. press releases we've done, insertions of profiles in the NDA Kaelo handbook. We've done various communication publications, Chairperson, with regards to our projects. We have put them out in papers. We've printed them. We've printed them in special magazines, etc. With our strategic goal 2, we had a study on the state of civil societies and the NDA. We've also had dialogues from the study. We had a report, Chairperson. This was presented to the board and also to various dialogues and committees around nationally as to what was the current state of civil societies. Then we also, the database was also linked to 9 provinces, so it's not, the NDA is located in 9 provinces, Chairperson, is not only nationally, so we had this database that we established connected to 9 provinces and also other organizations that's in development, development sector. Impact studies was done, Chairperson, per province for all 9 provinces, and what we're doing currently is not only having impact of the NDA in 9 provinces, but we're also having the impact per project in the 9 provinces now. I mentioned that we had dialogues and seminars. The voice, we also had the newsletter that was sent to key stakeholders. Information brochures was translated into Sotho and Zulu. The goal 3, build sustainable organization capabilities. Year chapters and various policies was drafted and approved by the board. We also had our phase 1 of the resource alignment, organizational alignment completed. The risk assessment was completed. We have a policy, the fraud policy, whistleblowing policy was approved. Contracts with stakeholders, we have various MOUs, service level agreements was vetted, and our policy in the NDA is to review our policies, our normal policies, and every second year, and that's been done. Because of these, all these governance issues and policies in place and et cetera, Chairperson, we've got an unqualified audit. Some of the challenges at the moment we have is limited financial resources, and because of that, we are going on resource mobilization. This year's strategy includes resource mobilization, and we're doing this vigorously, Chairperson. I'll give over to my colleague who's going to speak about the province projects per provinces right now, Chairperson, Ruben Mahalo.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, as fate will have it sometime, this presentation is actually available. The unfortunate side is that it was lost on en route here, and you will get copies before we conclude this session. I just need to explain 2 things, Chairperson. The first one is there is always a question on how does a community in Matatiele access NDA funding. There are 2 processes through which NDA funding can be accessed. The first one is through a process that we call Request for Proposals, which is an open competitive process where we invite civil society organizations to apply for funding. The second process is what we loosely call program formulation, which is a process of proactively moving into impoverished communities with the view of engaging in social mobilization activities, culminating in the formation of a structure that could access funds. What we have discovered with the first approach, the request for proposal, is that it favors primarily well-established organizations. Those organizations that are able to put together well-elaborated proposals and fairly established organizations. And progressively over time, we have moved to support mainly organizations through the program formulation approach. The statistics that you have, the Chairperson, statistics of the request for proposals received over a 3-year period. And what we are trying to demonstrate there, Chairperson, person is that out of the 919 proposals that we received via the request for proposals, we were only able to support 136 projects. And what we are trying to demonstrate the chairperson is the gap analysis in terms of the resources that we have. The actual figures for each province in terms of funded in the year under review is that chairperson, that we have supported 59 projects in the year 2008-09. And as you would see, the biggest recipients of funding have been the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo. I happened to sit in the SASSA presentation this morning, and I had a question around the Northern Cape. I'm not going to respond to the Northern Cape in particular, but just to elaborate the principle around how funding is allocated. The funding is allocated on the basis of the poverty indices that we receive from State SA. We give a baseline of 3 million and then apply the poverty indices and proportionally allocate the funding in that particular way. Chairperson, before I hand over back to the acting CEO on the financial report, I just want to indicate that the kinds of community enterprises, I prefer to call them community enterprises, that we support, when you want to look at their impact, we don't want to look at the impact only in terms of the figures. 59 projects supported, translating into a rent value of 85.1 million and so on. We would like to see them much more in terms of the impact. And the impact has to do with the income streams that accrue to poor households, the number of jobs that have been created by these community enterprises, the sustainability of these community enterprises and so on. That's how we would like to be measured when we look at these community enterprises. I'm sure honorable members have first-hand experience of these particular community enterprises that we support. I'm just referring again to the honorable member from the Northern Cape, that you will know that in Winserton, I think it's Winserton, which is about 56 kilometers from Kimberley, there is a huge, huge enterprise that we support. This called Swaraganang Hydroponics. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to see it. This particular enterprise is in the business of producing cucumbers. They actually produce close to 7,000 cucumbers for Freshmark, which is linked to Checkers. They produce 7,000 cucumbers per week, and part of the, probably half of the cucumbers that you eat in the Northern Cape are from that particular enterprise. And I can relate to many, many in the Eastern Cape, the Somovelu project, which is now a flagship project in terms of livestock farming and others. I didn't hear colleagues from the Northwest, but we do have outstanding projects from the Northwest, the Marang Women in Agriculture, and I'm sure you saw the pictures there, that is involved in bee farming and so on. There are many such that we would have to talk about. This is our first interaction with the committee. And I think as we get an opportunity, we will then give you specific details of where you can find those community enterprises. With the portfolio committee, we actually give them a full list of all these enterprises that we are funding, so that when you do your constituency and oversight work, you could have an opportunity to interact with some of them.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just shortly, the income statement. As you can see, the board has the NDA board has approved a strategy going forward that 60% of the funds we get from government will go directly to projects, and 40% we can work on administration. But this 60%, if you look at the next year, the strategy that's going to be approved by the board, it's actually about 70%, because most of the issues, like we assist projects not only with funding, but we do from the beginning. We do the we assist them with business plans. We assist with due diligence. We assist with all those, and we actually source these issues locally to assist the projects. So, which it just takes our funding to about 75% goes directly to projects. The rest we cover is administration. So you can see, Chairperson, that most of our cost is contained, and we are doing quite well where containment of cost is concerned. I can also point out to you that the accounts receivable, as you see there, the 248 million rand, is the amount of money that we keep for the projects. Those projects is approved, Chairperson. We owe that money to the projects. It's not like it's the NDA's money. So accounts receivable there, you'll see, is committed funds, actually. And once the project is, we monitor and evaluate the project, we do the payment of these projects. Chairperson, and that is the conclusion of my presentation. Thank you. We'll have questions. Thank you.
Yeah. Now I will open up to members to ask questions, to interact with the report. Let me start with you, Honorable Faba, Honorable Boroto, Honorable Ranto.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Yes, you know, before I became a full-time politician, I've had two training companies, an agricultural training company as well as a fuel training company, so I'm very well aware of the NDA. I see the emblem actually changed a bit from what I've seen last. So in the Trust Bank building in Kimberley, I used to speak to the staff a lot, but a problem that I do know about, and I'm actually quite concerned, as well as with the Department of Labor with their training for people in the areas, is that not accredited training providers are always used. And, you know, we can't help people to get training to go and sit on the stoop. There was a lot of, and I know through the NDA in the Northern Cape as well previously, I actually knew the manager at that stage. I haven't done business with him for a long time, obviously, but at that stage, I know that there was also projects that obviously did not go off well at all, where money was actually wasted because the NDA personnel that had to do investigation in those specific areas, they've got a target, or they had this type of target to go and look for projects which they could run, and some of them was not unfortunately sustainable for those specific areas. I know there was the one goat thing that was there in the Northern Cape, which was a total failure. I can actually call a numerous lot of these. There was, for instance, chicken breeding as well. That was all. I mean, I know that the NDA at this stage they've given the community a lot of things. But what I'm trying to say is the aftercare process specifically. You know, it's nice teaching people a skill and how to develop themselves with a business. But the aftercare is the most important part. And I don't see that the Department of Labor or the NDA in any, as I mean, I've been training for around about 12 years with accredited training companies. And I can tell you for sure that the training companies get the training and afterwards they say, we'll do aftercare. And these people just, if they don't get motivated, you must remember most of these are rural people that don't have a lot of skills, and they are very motivated in starting off. And then when that backup system of them falls away, especially when you get a bit of money now and you have to spend to reinvest into your future business, that's where the failure comes. I'm happy to hear about Winterton. It's in my constituency. I haven't seen it. My father-in-law's farm is actually not even 10 k's away from there, so I will certainly go and have a look at that. I'd like to get the information from you guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
I must say that it's not easy really having to listen and look and be able to interact. But this is the first time, and we have been introduced to what this is. Coming from Mpumalanga, where it's very rural, I believe that we need to find out this the data. We need a database for these provinces. We must be able to assist in terms of oversight, doing oversight. And you were talking about the flagships. If you can just make a breakdown of what do we have in the provinces there. And then the other thing is going down there, maybe working with my constituency, trying to assist them that they can access funds for their projects. You are talking about recruitment, you are talking about training. How is it done? How do you get to the people that are down there? In the deep rural areas, because most of them, when you talked about the processes of requests for proposal and program formulation, I don't think those are the things that our people can be engaged in. So the simple way maybe of knowing this, getting this information, how do you recruit and the training part that follows. I'll stop there for now.
Yeah. I think I want to make a follow-up on the question of the breakdown of the project, 59 projects that you're talking about, because I'm trying to find it here. I see other things here on 20 projects that were launched and other projects. The other question is on if I'm not sure whether the NDA has had an opportunity to evaluate the impact that has been made by this project in the community, in the communities where they stay, or in the lives of the people that are meant to. And also, are you satisfied with the management of this project generally? And how do you recover the funds from the non-complying projects, yes. And the last question will be, do you have a program of encouraging or educating communities to establish new projects? Because I think the reason for this project is also to alleviate poverty to the communities, and also the, what is it, what measures has the NDA put in place to ensure the necessary support is provided to projects to commence with the development work timelessly? The AG has recommended that NDA must institute measures to effectively monitor and assess the impact of projects. Is NDA prepared for this task at provincial level? Yeah, that will be all from my side.
I will share the questions between Ruben and myself. Most of the training that we do and the capacity building that we do, it's very difficult to do it locally because we don't have a lot of local accredited institutions that we can get, because they're mostly in the rural areas. What we do, we are in the process of accrediting some of the materials that we require. So there's a few project, a few accredited materials, example, governance, how to run boards, etc., finances that we're in the process of accrediting. But we try and get mostly accredited institutions. That is our core focus to get. And we try to manipulate or what the financial, if it's financial cause to our suit our needs, and it's not at that level, it's at a certain level that the projects need. So we try to individualize the causes that we have. but Ruben will speak more about it. Sustainability is always a problem with the projects. The NDA's mandate is wide, and we have to alleviate poverty. And in the rural areas and where we have to, where it matters most, people are not always educated. We have to transfer that education. We have to guide people. We have to sort of go into the rural areas. And I think this covers another question, where it's the NDA's mandate. Maybe SASA is there to look after the individual person for the DSD, but the NDA is there to look after NGOs, civil societies, for the DSD and for the minister. So what we have to do, if we see poverty, if we identify a poverty area, we have to organize those individuals in a group, either a faith-based organization, but that's our mandate to go do that, to see what we can go do in that area. And then we see what if this area can do agriculture, if this area is good in whatever, and then we go and implement those projects in the area. Sustainability, and again, we have about 400 projects on our database. And our development managers and provincial managers look after all these projects. So there's about 50 projects in per province that they have to look after and guide these people. And like I say, they're mentoring, and we get other people in to see if there's a project. But again, sustainability, we try, our business plans, our due diligence are focused on profitability. So our wish is to have funding of projects. At the end of 2 or 3 years, we wish they are profitable. I mean, it's a dream. And some of them, most of them are, but some of them are not. Those projects, we either see if we can get additional funding from private sector, from other government organizations, and we still look after them. It's not like we just try and leave them. Yes, we had a problem previously. We have identified the issue. The AG also brought it to our attention, and we're trying to look after these communities post-funding. So aftercare, yes, we are still trying to look after them. So we also introduced something that's called a sustainability fund. When the projects or some of the projects are completed, and we try, and they maybe need a 20,000 rand here, or buy a little tractor for 50,000 rand, or whatever the case may be, the NDA looks at those type of issues. Yes, Chairperson, we will send the information per province through your office, and it can be distributed to the members. We'll tell you which projects we still have on our database, which was approved in which year, etc., and what the project is all about. Of course, we're available if further information is required. Chairperson, Ruben will answer the question on the breakdown of the 59 projects. We do have that information. If we don't have it here, we can always forward it to your office. The impact made of studies, and again, Ruben will elaborate on this question. It is a concern and of ours. What value for money did we get out of the project? But we must also consider the other part. We have to feed people, and there's not always money that you get out of that social issue. It's feeding us in making sure that the children don't go to bed hungry, and it's very difficult to actually quantify what value for money you got out of all projects. But for the NDA, just having to note that part of that community is fed and go to bed happily, I mean, we fine with that. So it's very, very difficult, but in most of our projects, we try to get value out of money. Recovery of money, Chairperson, like I said, the NDA business is payment of projects over transfer. So let's say the project is approved for 1 million rand. We normally have 3 to 4 tranches, and it's approved at the time. Well, the provincial manager will say we're paying 10% in the first tranche, 20% in the second tranche, etc., until the complete money is paid. And we will pay in the business plan, it's already what's going to be in the first phase, what is going to be established by that 10%, what is the project going to use that 10% for. Sometimes it's before the 10% is paid, what skills need to be transferred, capacity building. Then we first do that. pay the money over. So it's a process that we go through. And when we see, before we pay the next tranche, we normally go visit the project at the site. And when we see things are going, it's a new part of our SOPs that we establish. When we see something is going wrong, we won't pay until it's fixed. Otherwise, we'll lose all that money, and then we don't really get money value for money. We'd rather write back that and pay another project. So we monitor these projects quite closely to see that they're getting value for themselves, not for the NDA, but for themselves, actually, and the communities. So the recovery, we have had not a lot of issues, but rather we'd rather write them back. But we have one or two projects that we're recovering money from, but that we either open police cases, and in the one case, actually, we recovered the money. But it is a long process, but very seldom happens. Sustainability. Monitoring, the monitoring and evaluation of projects, yes. We've had previous issues around monitoring and evaluations. We've also developed templates to development managers and provincial managers, as when they go out to visit these projects, what exactly are they going to look for? And it goes into the depth of actually seeing the budget that these projects provided for the NDA when they were approved. Was the money spent for that? So if they're saying that they are going to buy a bucket to transport vegetables, the NDA actually go and check if the bucket exists. Did they use the money for that? So it's in-depth operational monitoring that we are trying to implement, and that we are in the process. We've developed also a plan of how projects will, and when projects will be monitored, Chairperson. But I will hand over to my colleague who wants some more detail.
Chair, I'm going to be very brief.
Okay.
On the question of training, our lesson from the ground is that training in itself is not sufficient for our purpose. We have focused, prioritized more mentorship as opposed to ones of training. And the reason for that is that for us to walk side by side with these community enterprises that we support, we have to work with them over a period of time. And therefore, we have a mentoring program of anything between 0 and 18 months. Most of our successful enterprises are the ones that focus and prioritize mentorship and mentoring rather than ones of accredited training. We are not by any way discounting the value of accredited training, but so far it has not delivered the kind of results that we are looking for. Over the past 2 years, we invested 25.7 million in capacity building using accredited service providers. I'm talking well-established entities, your IDASAs, your Elgin Foundation, those big institutions that work with these communities. We can see the results, but we think that we can see more if we shift our capacity building more towards hand-holding rather than ones of training. The second thing is that when we talk about flagship programs, I'm reverting to Mpumalanga now. There are a number of projects that we have supported in Mpumalanga. We'll provide the list. But off the top of my mind is a community enterprise called Lukusasa Letu Leather Fen. You may know it. It's in Nkomasi. This community enterprise exports the leather fen. The leather fen is cut flower. They export that leather fen to the U.S. and to some parts of this Scandinavian country, Sweden, Norway, and so on. That's what they are doing at the moment. So there are a number of flagship programs that we would be able to speak to you about in that particular area. The breakdown of the 59 projects that we have funded in the year under review, we have that in the presentation, and we also have that in the slide. But we would also give you additional information of the current active projects in those provinces and where they are located. I think that information will be very useful for honorable members. Are we satisfied with management of the funds? This is a mixed bag. We move from the premise that we are funding communities whose capacity, whose institutional capacity is not at the level at which we would require for us to, for them to manage the kinds of funds that we are committing. But at the same time, we are not a bank, and therefore we would not have the kind of risk aversion that you would ordinarily find from a bank. If these communities that we don't work with, if they don't come to the NDA, they would not be able to access money from anybody else. So our appetite for risk is much more enhanced in that area. That comes with the other risk, which is accountability, responsibility, and reporting on funders. And we do have situations where we have had to write back projects. In your conventional financial environment, you will say bad debts or write-offs. And we do have those kinds of projects. And there are five circumstances through which this can arise. One is, even with the best of assessment around a particular project, you would still see a project that does not have governance, leadership, and management capacity to run the project, but also to account for the funding. I must report that increasingly, we are noticing that conflict is a big issue in some of these community enterprises that we support. You know, when there is no money, there is an element of collegiality, social cohesion, camaraderie. But as soon as money is in the bank, then hell breaks loose. It's something that we are going to have to manage as an organization, but it's also some other skill that we need to inculcate in some of the enterprises that we support. There is also an issue where you will find that, say, in Orange Farm, we are approached by five HIV and AIDS organizations operating in one area. When we have that kind of situation, we encourage them to cluster, have a lead organization, fund them as one entity, because there are benefits associated with that. Duplication of resources that can be minimized, economies of scale, and so on. But you will find that over time, some of the cluster members will decide that, no, we don't need the lead organization anymore. We would prefer to be on our own, and so on. And you have instances where the right formally to say we don't want the lead organization, and therefore, you know, write back the project. The last one is in instances where people just say, you know what, this money has caused so much turmoil in this community that we don't actually want to continue with this project. Gradually, there is withdrawal of members. We can't continue. If I may cite one silly example in Limpopo, where we had to withdraw a project because people were accusing each other of witchcraft. And they said, no, I don't want to continue with this thing. And other people passed a resolution saying, we don't want to, because of that particular reason. Now, these are things that we may take lightly, because in the bigger scheme of things, they are not things that sitting where we sit, we can identify easily identify with, but that's what happens on the ground. How do we recover the funds? As the acting CEO has already indicated, we've engaged a special investigation unit to assist us with recovery of some of these funds. But the contracts that we signed, the funding agreements that we signed with these funded projects, has a provision around what happens to the assets and the funds in the event of dissolution and so on. So we will then revert back to that resolution. How do we educate communities about the request for proposals and program formulation? This is one area that we believe needs to be strengthened. What we are doing currently is to engage with communities like district. We have allocated a development manager per district, and the job of that development manager per district is to engage with the traditional leadership, the CSOs that are available there. They have shied away so far from the political leadership, and we believe it's necessary to engage with the political leadership, whatever resource is available in that community, so that we can pass the kind of work that we do. We use a lot of community radio stations to communicate the request for proposals. We also use indigenous SABC radio stations to communicate what we are doing in this particular community. But we also, in some municipalities, profile what we do through the municipality newsletters. I'm sure some of you have seen those publications. We can do more, but the resources, obviously, that we have are not infinite. So I know that our board member who works directly with the adjudication of this project may want to say something very briefly. David.
Chair, I think he did so well, I'm there to keep quiet.
Thanks very much. I'm not sure whether members are still having any other follow-up questions on this presentation. Just last one question. On your financial report, there is something that is on the emphasis of matters, the irregular expenditure. Can you just explain to us how did you...
Jefferson, the irregular expenditure is procurement. It's not a theft or fraud or anything like that. It's procurement that the AGA has brought to our attention. Most of these procurement I followed up personally, and half of that procurement we did find the document. We moved from one office to the other, and some documentation got lost, and we couldn't find it at the time when the AG was doing the audit. So with the result, that has halved actually now. But it is procurement. I must also say in the procurement arena, we have approved our policy again. We have reviewed it. We've approved it, Chairperson. And we're monitoring, the audit committee is also monitoring closely any violations of procurement there, if we just a single source service providers, etc. But we must follow our procedures. And that is closely monitored at the moment. We obviously give them guidance and tell them, but you know, most of these DM, the development managers, are local, so they know most of the politicians and the provincial managers. They know the politicians, they know the arena, the field, the geographic issues in the and the poverty issues in the provinces. We also do research and give them research, but then we also give them guidelines as to how to do it. But they are feedback, and Ms. Mohana will give how they do feedback. Issues and how they give feedback to head office around that and what we do about it. But they're visiting and stuff, we do get feedback on it. And that also informs where our projects are funded, actually. But Ruben?
Very briefly, Chair, this is a bigger question, because the question is about the role of traditional leadership in development. That is the question. Our experience from the ground is that you have progressive traditional leadership. We have had stories of traditional leadership stalling and blocking development. That is not our experience. Our experience is that you have supportive traditional leadership that make resources available to communities through permission to occupy land where they are involved in agricultural production, making some other infrastructure available, and so on and so on. So we have that. But you also have traditional leadership, and these are in a minority, that develop proprietary tendencies towards some of our projects, if I may say so. And what that means is, this is my project because it's on my land, and therefore I own it. And it's a minority, but we are dealing with that. What we now know is that we can't just move into an area without seriously engaging traditional leadership. For purposes of enrollment, ownership, sustainability, buy-in, that's a must. We must do that.
Chairperson, if I may add, when the business, before it comes to the PPS, our subcommittee of the board for approval, we have done that homework already.
All right. Do you want to say something, Tuli? Okay. Tuli.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I would like to know is how can I access the report, the research report on the impact studies that was done?
Chairperson, the impact on civil society or our impact studies on our projects?
I'm not quite sure, but there was a mention of the
impact on the provinces. Yes. Chairperson, it's on our website, but we'll also forward it to your office for dissemination.
Yes.
If you're rounding up, can I say something on behalf of the board?
Yes, I think I'm about to do that now. All that you have mentioned it. Wait. Yeah. Members, anybody left? Yeah, this is a graveyard session. You know that everybody is still digesting and tired. Oh, do you have other meetings to attend to? Okay. All right. Then over to you, sir.
Chair, I just wanted to say that since this is the beginning of the dialogue, the board is actually quite pleased with what's been happening in the NDA. The question of the movement of understanding what's happening in training, for example, moving from the creative providers to a system of mentoring, whatever that may mean, we're working on that. There have been seminars, and that's proving to be a far more helpful sustainability product. The idea of making communities more sustainable, talking about marketing, talking about quality, talking about things like that, still within the realm of it not, we must be risk of, we can't be risk averse all the time. Communities can't do the things that banks can do, as he said. And it takes time. We sometimes expect things from communities that we wouldn't expect from commercial organizations to suddenly become profitable in 3 years like that is a huge risk. And the fact that the Auditor General, for example, we've just had our letter of, you know, the kind of letter you get from the Auditor General telling you what's going to happen in the audit. There's nothing in the first two categories that have to be concerned about. So all in all, the systems are working. We're getting better results from the project, and we're quite pleased with the situation. And we hope we'll be able to continue that kind of relationship and being honest and open with you on the difficulties, but also on the successes. Thanks for the opportunity, Chair.
Thanks very much. Members, let me take this opportunity just to say a few words. That, like I've said in the morning when we met with SASA, that we will be visiting provinces. The first province that we'll be visiting end of March is Limpopo. And I think that breakdown of projects that are under NDA's management or funding will assist us so that we can identify a few projects where we will, in the area that we'll be visiting, so that we can go and have a look and have an insight of how they're operating. Yes, we would love to have that breakdown. And I want to also thank the delegation from the NDA for the attendance and also your sharing of information with the committee. It has assisted us, but don't forget that in future I will really appreciate getting the information a week before so that we study it and understand it and we are able to make sense of the X, the B, policies and our mandate as members of parliament with that information. So with those few words, I would like to thank you very much. I don't know whether Mr. Madonsela wants to say something before I close.
Not really, Madam Chair. We are happy to be here. Thank you.
The documents actually have arrived finally, and you can help yourself as you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, all the list. See you next time.